In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin. And if you'll read in your bulletin, you can see that the Pope established this feast as an honor, as a commemoration of the Christians' victory at the Battle of Lepanto. But I don't wish to dwell too much about the historical aspect of the Rosary. I wish perhaps to draw our attention to how we should pray. I've encouraged many to say the Rosary. I've encouraged many families to join together and pray the Rosary together. But all too often, I'm afraid that we feel inadequate. We feel like the apostles when they came to our Lord and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I hope that perhaps with the grace of God, we might receive some enlightenment on how we are to pray. And first, I would like to relate a little story about a young man who was in the habit of saying a rosary every night before he went to bed. He would kneel at his bedside and say this rosary, no matter how tired he was. He insisted that he must discipline himself, he must force himself to say this rosary. And one night he stayed out late with his friends, not leading a very Catholic or noble life. And he came home, and it was very early in the morning. He was very tired. He got into bed, but then he stopped and realized, no, he must say his rosary. He got out of bed, knelt at his bedside, went through his rosary, and then got back in bed. And that night he had a dream. And in that dream, an angel presented him with his bowl of most delicious heavenly fruit. And the angel told the young man, eat this fruit. And the young man looked at the fruit, and he looked at the bowl that was holding the fruit, and the bowl was filthy. And he says, I can't eat that fruit. And the angel says, why not? This is the best fruit. This is the most tasty fruit. And he says, but it's being served in this filthy container. I can't eat it. And the angel related to the young man, this represents your prayers to the Blessed Mother. Your rosary is a most precious and delicious fruit for her that she wishes to take and eat, but you have presented it to her in this filthy container. And so now your prayers, no matter how beautiful they may be, are not at it all desired by the Blessed Mother. They are not at all pleasing to her. On the contrary, she is now repulsed by them because they are presented with this filth. And with this, I would suggest to each of us that before we begin to pray, we start with a simple act of contrition. That we begin by telling God that we are sincerely sorry for having offended Him. Having offended Him perhaps in even ways that we are not even aware of. But beginning by washing the container, we should begin by purifying this bowl that we wish to present these prayers to the Blessed Mother. And I can think of no better way to clean this vessel than with a sincere and humble act of contrition. We are reminded so many times in preparation for assisting at the celebration of the Mass that we're to leave all our cares outside the door, that when we enter the church, we are entering heaven, we are entering God's house. And we should leave all the distractions that we can outside the door and come, just bearing our soul to God in prayer. I suggest that we should do the same when we say our rosary. I've heard so many people say that we don't have time to pray. We don't have time for a family rosary. A rosary that, I will remind you, only takes 15 minutes. And yet we don't have time for that. I suggest that we make time. And in preparation, even before we make that act of contrition, I know you probably all don't fly as much as I do, but when you get on an airplane and they've closed the door and they're ready to get pushing back, they're one of their first announcements: turn off your cell phones, your iPods, your Blackberries, your Blueberries, and your Purpleberries, your iPods, your iPads, your Kindles, your e-readers, anything that has an on and off switch, turn it to the off position. I suggest we should do that before we begin our rosary. We have so many distractions. Turn off the radio, turn off the TV, turn off your cell phone for just 15 minutes. It won't kill you. People on an airplane can do it for 30 or more minutes. I know, I've seen them. It's not that hard. If we could do it for an airplane ride, surely we can do it for God, for the Blessed Mother. Take 15 minutes, shut everything down, leave all those cares, all the worries behind. Kneel down and begin with an act of contrition so that our prayers might be found worthwhile, offered at least in a somewhat cleansed vessel, and then begin our prayer. And then begin this dialogue, if you will, with the Blessed Mother. Begin speaking to Mary from the bottom of our hearts. Now, there are probably more ways than I can think of that we might say the rosary and say it well. But I wish to present basically two methods that we might use that in my mind seem very beneficial. The first you probably are aware of: to think of the words that you're saying. To think of the words of this angelic salutation. That you're repeating these words over and over again. What are these words? What do these words mean? What is it that I'm saying? So that we're not just praying with our lips, but that we begin to pray from the bottom of our hearts. And the first words of this angelic salutation, if we would stop and meditate upon them, they would fill us with more than 15 minutes of thought, of sentiments, of devotion. What does it mean when this angel that we just read about in the gospel, this angel Gabriel, comes down from heaven, approaches this young maiden, and says, "Hail Mary." Most of these young people have no idea what the word "Hail Mary" means. What does "Hail" mean? What is it? It's a salutation, a greeting. Much as we would say, "Hello." The angel is greeting the Blessed Mother. But she is not yet the Blessed Mother. She is still just this maiden. And even in this state, before she has conceived Christ within her womb, this angel continues. He doesn't stop with Hail Mary, but he says, Hail Mary, full of grace. And what does that mean, to be full of grace? What is grace? This supernatural gift. A gift which we haven't earned, we haven't merited in any way, we don't deserve it. For that's what a gift is. If you deserved it, then it would be owed to you. It would not be a gift. But grace is something that is freely given to us by God. Not a physical thing, but a supernatural thing that enlightens our minds and strengthens our will so that we might do good and avoid evil. But the angel says that Mary is full of grace. And how perfect, how beautiful it is. Her vessel, her soul, is filled with the gifts of God. Much like our children's toy box might be filled with toys, with gifts that their parents, friends, and relatives have given them, it is filled to overflowing so that now it doesn't all fit in the toy box but has to go hidden in the closet and under the bed. This is Mary's soul. Filled with not toys, not material things, but her soul is filled with gifts from God. And it almost seems redundant to say, the Lord is with thee. For where God's gifts are, there God is himself. Mary's soul, her heart is filled with the gifts of God. It is filled with God himself. And we could go on expounding word by word this entire angelic salutation. But I think you have the idea. And I would suggest that if we began to look into each one of these words, think of them, dwell upon them, that these words will soon become sweet upon our lips. And this repetition of the Hail Mary will not become odious to us. It will not become something that is done by rote. But it will be, I keep using the word, a sweetness. It is like when you begin to eat a piece of chocolate. You children know that. Your mother says you can have one piece of candy. And you take that one piece of chocolate. And no sooner has that one finished, it's melted in your mouth. And what do you want? But another. And another. And another. And this is what happens to our souls when we begin to repeat this angelic salutation. The first one was so sweet. It was so delicious. It only whetted our appetite for another. And far from growing weary of reciting this prayer, it becomes more delicious, more enticing. And those souls that enter into this form of prayer feel as if they have never received enough. They can never repeat these words enough, for they are so delicious upon their lips that they cannot leave off saying them. And they often find themselves, even without realizing it, repeating these words at least in their hearts, in their minds. They find that while they're driving down the road, this angelic salutation is playing almost by rote in their hearts and in their minds, in their work, in their times of trials or tribulations. The first thoughts, the first words that come to someone who is fed on this delicacy are these words, for they are so sweet and they hold such consolation, such joy. And I mention this as only one means of prayer. And I'm certain many of you have heard this before, but I repeat it so that we might perhaps try again. We might perhaps attempt this mode of prayer and find greater benefit for our soul within it. We might find motive to love praying the rosary, drawing close to Mary. And we might find it a most beneficial aid in resisting temptation, fighting the occasions of sin with these beautiful words deep within our hearts and our minds. Anything that is offensive to the Blessed Mother will become repulsive to us. We only wish to have the sweetness of these words, of these thoughts, of these sentiments, and we repulse everything else. But the second mode of praying the rosary that I would like to address this morning is the mysteries that are announced with each decade. The life of the Blessed Mother is played out before our very eyes, if we will only look with our mind's eye into each of these mysteries. And the life of the Blessed Mother is a life that leads us directly to Christ, directly to God. So our devotion to the Blessed Mother takes nothing away from God. On the contrary, it is, you might say, an aid to us. When we look at those five joyful mysteries, the preparation for Christ's coming, his youth, and we go from those five joyful mysteries into the five sorrowful mysteries, and we see the suffering that Christ went through, the suffering that his Blessed Mother went through, and then we see the five glorious mysteries, where all is rewarded. All the pain, all the suffering, all that we dwelt upon in those sorrowful mysteries now sees its fruit. It bears forth a fruit that is most sweet, most delicious. And there are many ways we can dwell upon each of these mysteries, one by one in their succession. But I think for children and perhaps for many of the bigger children, it is well for us to engage our imagination. We all know the stories, we know the mysteries, we learn them in our catechism. But it's one thing to sit back and watch a TV program. It's one thing to sit and read the dry words from the pages of a book. And it's another thing to enter into the words of that book. Not just reading them with your eyes and going over the words, but actually becoming wrapped up in that book. And I think most of us can relate to that, where you have picked up a book and it was just a page turner. You couldn't put it down. You couldn't wait to turn the next page and see what's going to happen next. You become wrapped up in it. And I'm certain there are other times you picked up a book and forced yourself. How dry, how uninteresting, how boring this is. Our prayers, our rosary to the Blessed Mother can be one or the other. And it is true that we need the grace of God to truly pray well. But it is also true that we have to do our part. And I think too often we never really do our part. We can't enter into the life of the Blessed Mother, to the life of Christ that are brought before our mind's eye when we pray the rosary, because our hearts are not in it. We're praying by rote, or we're being forced into our prayer by pride or shame or vanity, whatever it might be. Or our hearts are still attached to things of the world. And all while we're praying the rosary, we're thinking about what we're going to do as soon as we're finished. I can't wait until this rosary is finished, and then I can go to bed, I can watch this movie, I can read this book, I can go out with my friends. And our whole time with the Blessed Mother becomes wasted. I mentioned before that in preparation for the Mass, we are admonished to leave all our cares outside the door. And I mentioned in preparation for taking off on an airplane, everybody has to turn everything off. The same is true if we're to gain anything from our meditation on the mysteries of the Rosary. We have to turn everything off. Set it aside for a few moments. Clear our mind from all our cares, all our anxieties, all our worries. And calm ourselves down for just a moment. Make, as I mentioned before, that simple act of contrition. Ask our guardian angel to come to our aid, to help us to pray well. And then, I mentioned, engaging our imagination. Imagine that we are there for that first joyful mystery. What would it be like if we were a fly on the wall there? Imagine the angel Gabriel appearing to the Blessed Mother. What was she doing? How was she doing it? Artists have generally portrayed her busy at work, sewing, knitting, weaving. Busy as most young maidens would be at that time. Perhaps as she's working with her hands, her mind and her heart is lifted up towards heaven, thinking of God. Imagine what this angel, this archangel Gabriel, must have looked like when he appeared to her. Imagine, if you can, the fright that must have overtaken her. How startled she must have been. For we are startled when just a mere human being comes into the room unexpectedly. How startled she must have been to have an archangel appear before her. I would suggest, more than startled, that she was even afraid. For after this angel greeted her, remember the words he greeted her? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. What fear overcame her? She's wondering, what sort of salutation is this? And the angel tells her, fear not. Don't be afraid. How many times have we been afraid when God's will has been made manifest to us? How many times have we been afraid to do what we know God wants us to do? We can go through the scriptures and see that very often when an angel appeared before men, men were in terror, frightened. The angels often had to mask their appearance so as not to be so intimidating to men who cannot stand to see the glory that these angels bear in their person. Many of the saints have told us that if we could just see the angels in their true glory, in their true beauty, the reflection of Christ, just the vision of this angel is enough to strike us dead in fear. And this angel is nothing but a reflection of God. But now here the Blessed Mother beholds the angel. And this angel's carrying a magnificent message for her, announcing to her this wonderful thing that mankind has been waiting for since Adam and Eve sinned. Almost from the beginning of time, if you will. All of man have been waiting for the coming of God, the coming of the Savior. And she is the first one. She is the one who hears these words from the angel. She is the one that has been chosen from all of eternity. And I could go on just this one mystery. But the Blessed Mother has given us 15 mysteries. I could spend 15 minutes talking about just the Annunciation. The beauty, the wonder. I could take you on an imaginary journey there. What must it have been like for the Blessed Mother to hear these words? What joy must have filled the heart of Saint Gabriel, the Archangel, to be able to deliver these words to Mary, these words of consolation, these words of joy. What anxiety must have filled the heart of Saint Joseph when he found out what had taken place. How humbling it must have been. You see, there is almost no limit to where our imagination can take us. And if we allow this imagination to be guided by our guardian angel, if we ask our guardian angel to take us by the hand and take us through these mysteries as we pray, there is a wealth of treasure there for us. And we will find that our time in this prayer will be too short. It will never be long enough. We will find that we will eagerly return to these mysteries, to these prayers, to this devotion, as we eagerly return to a book, as children return to their favorite book and read it over and over again, or have someone else read it to them over and over again. They never tire of hearing it. They know the whole story by heart. They know how it ends, but yet they want to hear it again and again. I found it very peculiar when I used to hear people would go to the theater and see a movie. Not once or twice or three times, but over and over again. Why? You know how it ends. You've already seen it. What a waste of time. What a waste of money. But I found, not with movies and shows, but with a good book. If I find a book that I like, I can read it over. And I'll pull things out from the book after this second reading that I never saw the first time. I read the words, but the thoughts, the ideas that I'm getting the second time, I did not get the first time. And if you read it a third time, again, there are more. And I can tell you from the time I went up to New York and entered the seminary, became a novice, there was one book that Bishop Lewis put out for us for our morning meditation, and right after the morning mass, a few pages from this book would be read, and then we all knelt down silently there in front of the tabernacle for 30 minutes, just thinking upon the words that we had just heard read to us. That was our morning meditation. And I can tell you that that book is still there, and I still use it. I can't tell you how many times I have been through that book, but each time it is something new, something more precious. I've even taken the time to read that book and record it, chapter by chapter. I have it on my computer, and I can play back chapter by chapter and hear myself read this book. And still hear something new each time. And I suggest that if we will allow our guardian angel to take our imagination by the hand, he can show us things in the mysteries of the rosary that we have never seen before. He will take us to such places that are so sweet and so delicious that we'll never want to leave. We will find it a torture to go back to the things of the world, to have to turn on our cell phone once again, to have to communicate with human beings once again. Once we have tasted how sweet it is in these mysteries to become wrapped up in this life of Christ, to be led to Christ through the Blessed Mother. After we've entered into the heart and the sentiments of the Blessed Mother, the best that our imagination can reveal to us, we won't want to leave. We will find a love, a sentiment there that almost tears our heart in two when we have to come back to this world, back to our daily drudge. And I know it's not going to happen every time. I can tell you there were times I've knelt there in my morning meditation, thinking, when will this 30 minutes end? How long will it take? It seems to be forever. And then there are times when the bell rings and I think, oh no, it can't be time yet. Let me stay here just a little while longer. And I know the same thing will happen to each of us in our devotion to the Blessed Mother. As we've entered into these sentiments, into these ideas, into these thoughts, we've allowed our guardian angel to take us by the hand and show us things that we have not seen before. Those moments will be most precious. They will be most dear to us and we'll hate to see them go. But I also know that there are going to be those times when the rosary will be nothing but monotonous. The devils will be throwing up thousands of distractions. We'll be thinking there are better ways we can spend our time. And I suggest to you that you persevere. Persevere through it. With dogged determination if necessary. Don't give up. But always keep searching for that sweet taste, for that sweet grace that perhaps you have already been given a glimpse of sometime in the past. Try to find it again and don't give up searching for it. For if you're able to grab a hold of that, at least occasionally, you will find yourself more pleasing to the Blessed Mother and therefore more pleasing to God. You will find within that the strength to fight off so many temptations, to fight off so many assaults of the devil, the world, and your own passions. You will find the courage to stand up and be counted as a true soldier of Christ, a child of the Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.